Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Vav. We will begin on Daf Hey Amud Beis, 8 lines from the bottom of our bayim. At the end of our previous shir, we began a discussion regarding the Shiva Shemei Meluim, where the Torah discusses everything that happened during those days, the directives that Moshe Rabbeinu received from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how he should prepare Aaron and his children for their important position to be the Kohanim to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we discussed in that shir that Moshe Rabbeinu was told to put on the clothing on Aaron and his children. And the question that we began to discuss was, how did that take place? Exactly whose clothing were put on first and whose was put on last? Says the Gemara, Amabaya, B'ktsoinus Mitznefes, regarding the Ktsoinus and the Mitznefes that they were told to wear, put on, Kulam Le'pligi, there is no argument. First Aaron was told to put on the Begodim, and Rachakach Bonav, and then his children should put on their Ktsoinus and the Ktsoinus and Mitznefes. Ktsoinus is the shirt that they wore, and Mitznefes is the hat that they wore. Actually, the hats that the Kohanim wear are the hat that the Kohen Gadol wore, is called the Mitznefes, and the hat that the regular Kohanim wore is called the Megbas. And Rashi in Chumash tells us that in Parshas Tetzave, that both of those hats, even though they're not really called the same name, they are the same type of hat. And there's no machloikah, says the Gemara, that the Aaron came before his children, because bein betzavah and bein basiyah, as we mentioned in our previous year, the Torah, when it discusses the halachas about the Shiva Shmei Meluim, actually it appears twice in the Torah, once in Parshas Tetzava, and once in Parshas Tzav. It says the Gemara, in both parshas where this event is discussed, Aaron Kodim, the Torah speaks about Aaron putting on these clothing first. If we look in Parshas Tetzava, the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu should put on Aaron the Ktsoinus, the Mil, the Eifed, the Choshed, the Mitznefes, and the Tzis. And then the Torah speaks about putting on his children the Ktsoinus. And then the Torah speaks about putting on Aaron his Avnet and the Megbos. Avnet and Megbos. In Parshas Tzav, where the Torah speaks about actually what happened, the Torah says that Moshe put on Aaron the Ktsoinus, the Avnet, the Mil, the Eifet, the Choshen, the Mitznefes, and Tzitz. And then the Torah says that Moshe Rabbeinu put on Aaron's children, the Ktsoinus, Avnet, and Megbos. So we see clearly in both parashas that the Ktsoinus and the Mitznefes of Aaron came first. As we also discussed in our previous year, the Mechnasayim are not mentioned in either parasha. And the Rishonim, going back to what we discussed in our previous year, that there was no question that the Mechnasayim were put on first. And the reason they're not mentioned is like the Ramban mentioned the Ramban in the previous year, that there's no question that the Mechnasayim were put on first, because when we speak about the Mechnasayim, since the Mechnasayim were put on not just as Big Day Kahuna, but they were put on for Tznius purposes, so that was certainly put on first. And not only was that put on first, I saw, but they was put on by the Kohanim themselves. Because again, following the approach that the Ramban taught us, since they're put on for Tznius purposes, of course they have to be put on first and also put on by the Kohanim themselves. Reb Chaim Briska also says, from here we see that that the only one that wore the Big Day Kahuna was Aaron the Kohen Gadol. No other Kohen wore the Big Day Kahuna, because our Gemara clearly teaches us, as based on the Pesukim that we just mentioned, that Aaron's children wore the big day, only the big day kohen of a kohen hedget. And even though, points out Rav Chaim, these kohanim, these were nimshach. We spoke in our previous shir that the kohanim during the Shiva Shmei Meluim were nimshach, were anointed. Even though they were anointed, it doesn't change that they did not wear only the four big day kahuna of a kain hedget. So says the Gemara, ki pligi, regarding what beged is there machloikis, ba'avnet. Was the avnet put on an Aaron and then his children, or were they all done at the same time? Mandam ma'arav akach bonav, the mandam that says the first was Aaron and then his children, the ksiv, because the pasuk says, v'yachkar oisa be'avnet, the avnet was put on Aaron, v'had the ksiv, and then the pasuk says, v'yachkar oisam avnet, that they had the avnet, the children of Aaron had the avnet put on them. Manda oma Aaron u'bonav basachas, and the mandam that says Aaron and his children were all done at the same time, the ksiv, the pasuk says, in parashat tzava, v'chagarta oisam. Oisam means that, and according to this, all of them had the begotten put on first. Aaron had all of his begotten put on first, without the avnet. And then they put on the ksoinus and the mitznefis on Aaron's children. And then, at the same time, the avnet was put on all of them. What that means, we'll see soon. Says the Gemara, Olaman da Omer, Aaron ubana bas achas, asked the Gemara, according to the opinion that it was all done at the same time, asked the Mark Siv, doesn't it say explicitly, v'yachkar oisoi ba'avnet, the first Aaron was put on the avnet, v'adik siv v'yachkar oisom avnet. So the pasuk is very clear that Aaron was before everyone else. Amaloch, this man, the Amal, will respond to you, hahu, those psukim, that Aaron had one avnet, and his children had another avnet, is not here to teach us that they put on the avnet on Aaron before they put on the avnet on his children, but rather to teach us a different halacha. The avnet is a kohen gadol, that the avnet that the kohen gadol wore, lo yuzu avnet is a kohen hedget. It's not the same avnet that the kohen hedget wore. And this is a very important halacha, because the Torah, when it describes the avnet of the kohen gadol, says clearly, "Vesa avnet sheish moshza tchelus v'agamon v'talas shani masi reikim." Now, tchelus v'agamon v'talas are all made out of wool, that are dyed in different colors. Sheish is linen, so we know that whenever we have a mixture of linen and wool, it's klayim. The Torah is telling us clearly that the avnet of the kohen gadol was made out of klayim. When we speak about the avnet of the kohen hedget, the Torah never explicitly tells us how it was made. And that's why throughout Shas, there's a machloikus. Was the avnet, the belt of the kohen hedget, similar to the belt of the kohen gadol, or was it made out of only linen? And that, the Gemara is saying, is part of the machloikis, what we're having over here, that according to this man d'omer, they were put on, according to this man d'omer, the avnet of both of them were put on at the same time. Just the reason the Torah separates them is that to teach us this halacha, that they were not the same type of avnet. Ask the Gemara, will a man d'omer, Aaron, and according to Mamma, that does say that Aaron's avnet was put on first, and then the avnet of his children. But ask the Gemara v'ksiv, haven't we just read the pasuk that says v'chagarta oisom avnet? And the pasuk clearly is coming to teach us that they were all put on at the same time. Amaloch, he will respond, hahu kamashmalon, that pasuk is coming to teach us the avnet shekayin gadol ze avnet shekayin hedget. They were not put on at the same time, but the reason the Torah connects them by using the words v'chagarta oisom avnet is to teach us that the belt of the kohen gadol and the belt of the kohen hedget were not the same. So ask the Gemara, v'yach oisom avnet, v'yach oisom lamali, Why do we need the Pesukim to tell us when we speak about exactly what happened separately? Ask the Gemara, so we just have been learning about Machloikis, where they put on at the same time, or they put Aaron first and then his children. Ask the Gemara, how is it possible to do so, to both of them at the exact same time? Answers the Gemara, Letricha, what it means to teach us is the Agdam. It's referring to teach us that one before the other. And when we speak about Bas Achas, it doesn't mean that Aaron's children and him were done at the exact same moment. You can't do two things at the exact same thing. But the Torah is coming to teach us is that we put on all of the Big Day Kahuna on Aaron, stopped before putting on the Avnet, and then we put on the Big Day Kahuna of his children, even though Aaron was not yet wearing his Avnet, and only after his children had their three Big Day Kahuna, besides the Avnet put on, that we turned to Aaron and put on his Avnet, and then afterwards we put on the Avnet of his children. But we did not put on Aaron's Avnet until his children had their Big Day Kahuna on first. So now we've learned a big machlokes, if the Avnet of the Kohen Gadol and the Avnet of the Kohen Hedyot were the same. And the question is, so, Shloi B'Shas Avoida, when a Kohen Gadol is not doing the Avoida, says the Rambam, since it's Klayim, and of course, as we know, one may not wear Klayim, so one could only wear the Avnet, a Kohen, says the Rambam, was only allowed to wear the Avnet while he was doing the Avoida. As soon as he finished the Avoida, he had to make sure, says the Rambam, that he removed the Avnet. The Raiva disagrees. And the Raiva holds that even when the Kohen was not doing the Avoida, he was allowed to wear the Big Day Kuna, including the Avnet. And he explains and the Achroinim discuss what is the Machlokes of the Rambam and the Raiva. So the Rambam is obviously of the opinion that the reason a Kohen is allowed to wear the Avnet, even though it's Klayim, is because of the concept of Essay Doich Eloisesei. Essay Doich Eloisesei is the essay of doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, is Doich the Eloisesei of wearing Klayim. But that we only apply the concept of Essay Doich Eloisesei when we're doing the Avodah. When the Avodah is not being done, there is no right to say, there's no Essay Doich Eloisesei, and therefore, says the Rambam, you have to quickly remove it. The Ravid has a different approach. The Ravid's approach is that even though, of course, there is an Issa Klayim, by Big Day Kahuna, the Torah never said that there's Issa Klayim. And therefore, if there's no Issa Klayim on this Beged, if there's no Issa of Klayim on this Beged, so it's no different than a Beged that doesn't have Klayim. And that's why the Ravid's going to hold that he could wear the Avnet even when he's not doing the Avodah. Rav Chaim Brisker has somewhat of a different approach in explaining the Machloikis and the Rambam and the Ravid. The question is, if a Kohen, we know how important and how critical is the Levisha, the wearing of the Big Day Kahuna. And the question that the Rav Chaim says between the Machloikis, between the Rambam and the Ravid, is when you're not doing Avodah, is wearing the Big Day Kahuna a mitzvah? Is there a point in wearing Big Day Kahuna, even if the Avodah right now is not being done? According to the Rambam, there is a point. There is no point in wearing a Beged when you're not doing the mitzvah, wearing Big Day Kahuna. And the Ravid says that the mitzvah applies even when you're not doing the Avodah. So the Shagas Arya says, based on the way we just learned, that wearing, according to the Rambam, that wearing the Big Day Kahuna is not really, is not something that should be done, only when it's absolutely necessary. And therefore, when you're not doing the Avodah, there is no heter to wear, according to Rambam, the Avnet that's Klayim. So the question is, how, asked the Shagas Arye, I saw this question brought in the Sefer Toiras Yuma, that the Shagas Arye asks a question, so whenever Avodah is done, wouldn't it be preferable that the avodah should be done by a kohen hedyot versus a kohen gadol? According to the man the Amr in today's shir, that the big day kahuna of the kohen hedyot were not shatnas, the beggar of the kohen gadol was shatnas, and we're only allowing you to wear it, according to the Rambam, only when it's absolutely necessary. So don't wear the big day kahuna when don't wear the avnet and ask a kohen hedyot to do the avodah. So the Beis Halevi answers, he says, that there's a mitzvah to do the avodah. So yes, we can ask a kohen hedyot to do the avodah, and therefore the kohen gadol will not be required to wear the avnet. But the kohen gadol has a mitzvah to do the avodah, and therefore, since he has a mitzvah to do the avodah, so we can ask the kohen hedyot, but the kohen gadol who has a mitzvah to do the avodah, therefore the kohen gadol is allowed to do the avodah, even though a kohen hedyot is available to do the avodah, and he'll do the avodah without wearing shatnas. Says the Gemara, mafishin kohen gadol. So we learned that we separate the kohen gadol from his house to the lishkos Sanhedrin. Ask the Gemara, lama mafrishin. Why do we do so? Ask the Gemara, what's the question? Lama mafrishin. Haven't we been learning since the beginning of Masechta? Kekamrinin, il Rabbi Yochanan, whether we follow the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan because we learn it, like he explained, because we learn it from the Shiva Shemei Meluim, il Reish Lakish, or we follow the opinion of Reish Lakish, like he explained. Answers the Gemara, that's not what was meant. Hachkamer. The question is, why do we have to take him? Why do we have to put him to Lishkos Sanhedrin? So, the way Rashi explains that the Mishnah, when it says Mafrishnoi Samibesoi, means we separate him from his wife. The question is, why do we have to separate him from his wife for this week? He could be with his wife. Tosfos asks, and because Rashi is learning, obviously, that the Lishkos Sanhedrin did not have in it the Kedusha of the Azara, and therefore, why can't his wife be with him there? Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that even if we'll say that the Lishkos Sanhedrin did not have the Kedusha's Azara, it was certainly on the Har HaBayis. And if we're going to allow the Kohen Gadol, who's being sequestered, to have relations with his wife, so he will immediately become a Belkeri when he has those relationships. And we've learned that a Belkeri might not enter into Har HaBayis. So Tosfos therefore explains why the Gemara's question is not why do we separate it from his wife, why don't we let his wife join him in the Lishkos Sanhedrin. The Gemara's question is that why do we have to take him to the Lishkos Sanhedrin? Why don't we let him stay in one of the mechilos, in one of the tunnels that are under the Har HaBayis? And we learned in Masechta Pesachim that the mechilos lo neskachu with Kedushas Har HaBayis, and therefore they can have relations over there. Tosfos Re'elovin has a different question. The question of the Gemara is that we shouldn't even take him to the Har HaBayis. We should designate a special home, and there he'll be sequestered, but he doesn't have to be sequestered away from his wife. But the Tosfos Yeshadim asks a fundamental question. I don't understand the Gemara. I don't understand the Gemara's question. He says, what did the Kohen Gadol do all those days? And all those days, he did the avodah, and he was practicing to do the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. So how can we ask the Tosfos Yeshadim, that he should be allowed to be with his wife? If he's going to be with his wife, he's going to become Tamei, and then he won't be doing avodah. So he wants the answers that since the obligation to do the avodah in those days is only midrabanan, therefore the obligation for a husband to be able to be with his wife supersedes our telling him to be able to do the avodah those days. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggests is that he should be allowed to go home right before the shkia, have relations with his wife, quickly go to the mikveh, and he'll have Herif Shemesh, because he will have had the relations and the mikveh or before Harav Shemesh, and therefore tomorrow he'll be able to do the Avoida. So the Rashba asks a question. Our Gemara is saying that both according to Rabbi Yochanan and both according to Rish Lakish, whoever they learned this din of sequestering the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur, Moshe Rabbeinu was separated from his wife when he went up to Har Sinai. Aaron and his children during the Shevet Shemei Meluim were separated from their wives. So if we're learning from the Shevet Shemei Meluim, who were learning from Har Sinai, they were separated from their wives. So here too, the halacha ought to be that he's separated from his wife. So the Rashba answered that not everything that the Torah said we had to do by Yom Kippur, or we had to do by the Shevet Shemei Meluim, that applies here as well. And therefore, this halacha, he says, is not absolutely essential. And therefore, even though there they were separated from the wives, there's no reason, says the Rashba, the Gemara is asking, that the halacha should be by the Kohen Gadol before Yom Kippur as well. The Tashbatz says a different explanation. Moshe Rabbeinu, he speaks at least about Moshe Rabbeinu with Har Sinai, had to be prepared at every moment to hear from HaKadosh Baruch Hu Divrei Torah. And therefore, he had to be at a higher level of Tahara. But we don't find that, says the Tashbatz, regarding the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur. And therefore, the Gemara's question is, why did we have to separate him from his wife? Answers, the Gemara, Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, the reason he was separated is Shema Timtza Ishtoi Safek Nida. He may discover that his wife is a Nida, V'yavaleh, and he may then have relations when she's a Nida, and if she's a Nida, and he has relations with her, he's going to be Tomei. Ask the Gemara, we're speaking here about a Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol will certainly not have relations with his wife if she's questionably a Nida. Says the Gemara, what happened is we need to be concerned, Shema Yoval Ishtoi, he may have relations with his wife, but Timtza Safek Nida, and she'll be a Nida, and now he's going to be Safek if he's Tamei, and he won't be able to come into the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur. So ask Reb Kiva Eger that if the entire reason we're being machmer is because Shema Timtza Ishtei Nida, so let's say his wife, we know the Torah in Parshas Tazria tells us that after a woman has a baby boy, for the first 7 days she's Tamei no matter what, and then for the next 33 days, this of course is Midaraisa, she's Tohor no matter what. And if she has a baby girl, for the first 14 days, she's Tamei no matter what. And for the next 66 days, she's Tar no matter what. So why should the halacha not be, asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, that if a Kohen has a wife who had a baby boy within the last 33 days, who had a baby girl within the last 66 days, that there's no question that she could become a Nida. He should be allowed to have relations. So Rav Kivega says that once Chazal make a rule, we don't have to worry that the rule will be, it's light plug, and therefore they said it even for the Kohen whose wife cannot become a Nida. The Rashba also says that even though the mitzvah's oina, the mitzvah for a husband to have relations with his wife, is an important mitzvah, still, since here we're speaking about coming into the Beis HaMikdash, since here we're talking about preparing to do the Avodah Yom Kippur, Chazal, says the Rashba, have the right to take and say that the mitzvah's oina, the mitzvah that a Kohen has to have with relations with his wife, supersedes everything else. I saw that even though the Gemara says that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is medag, the Gemara says Masechta Gittin Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu mevi takolah letzadikim, a Kodesh Baruch Hu doesn't bring takolah to tzadikim. So here, why should we worry that this would happen? Even though that's indeed the halacha, that doesn't give us a right to say that everything goes, and we have to take a stricter opinion, and we have to be concerned that maybe something will happen, and the Kohen will end up doing the avoida betumah. The Gemara in Masecht Nida speaks, and Daf Yud Daled speaks about the world that they lived in. In the world that they lived in, Nida did not just represent that when a wife is a Nida, a husband may not have relations with her. Of course, that is a very important part of Hilchas Nida. But another part of Hilchas Nida was regarding Tumah. A woman who's a Nida is Tameh. And there's a question over there if a woman, and if a husband and a wife have relations. So the Mishnah says there that before they had relations, after they had relations, they immediately check themselves with different pieces of material if they are Tameh. If there's dam on them, then if on the on these pieces of material, if dam is found on them immediately after the bia, then certainly if dam is found on the husband's piece of material, they're Tameh, because blood doesn't usually come out from the husband. It must have come from her. If it's found on her piece of material, so then there's certain categories. If the blood was found immediately after the bia, then they're Tameh. If, because it's clearly an indication that the dam came out during the bia, and therefore the Tameh. However, if the bia didn't take place, if the bedika, if the checking did not take place immediately after the bia, so now the husband is only Tameh Masafik. We don't know if he came in contact with that dam or if he did not come in contact with the dam, and therefore we are more lenient. And there's a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan. And Rabbanan hold that woman is Tameh. Not only is she Tameh, but she's Tameh retroactively for the last 24 hours. And the husband is Tahar. Rabbi Kiva disagrees. And Rabbi Kiva says that just like we said that the woman, we have to be Machmer, is Tameh retroactively for 24 hours, so too we have to be Machmer on the husband as well. The question is, why are the Rabbanan more lenient on the husband than on the wife? So the Tosfos Rosh explains that this is a very uncommon situation. And therefore, that the wife should become a Nida while they had relations, and in Tzedav Elosh Chiyach, Chazal didn't make Gzeira. The Zeche Yitzchak explains that really, a husband's Tumah Nida and a wife's Tumah Nida are to be viewed in from different perspectives. A husband's perspective is that he's Tumah because he had a relation with a woman who's a Nida. And that's unlikely. And if we don't know that happened, we can't make the husband's Tumah. The wife is not Tumah because of the act of relations. The wife is Tumah because a woman that expels dam is Tumah. And therefore, the wife we have to be more machmer on than the husband. So ask the Gemara. Amru Kamra Kamei to Rav Chisda. The Rabbanan told Rav Chisda that the reason Chazal were machmer on the Kohen not having a relation with his wife is because we have to be worried that the Kohen will become Tumah. Kaman, says the Gemara, whose opinion is this following? Seemingly, it's following Rabbi Kiva the Omar, Nida, that if a Nida saw dam, even if the dam was not discovered immediately after the bia, not only are we machmer on the woman, but matam espoyala, the husband, it's him, will also be Tameh, and therefore we have to be concerned what is going to be the status of this Kohen. The Rabbanon, because if we're going to follow the opinion of Rabbanon, Hamri, the Rabbanon hold that ain't need a matam espoyala. The Nida doesn't make her husband Tameh retroactively. So there's no reason to be machmer on the husband, on this Kohen, Godl. Amul Rav Chisda, I feel a temer Rabbanon. We could say that this explanation even follows the opinion of the Rabbanon. Because at Kanoi Pliga Rabbanon later Rabbi Kiva, when did the Rabbanon dispute Rabbi Kiva, Ela Bedam Achar Abiyah, if she saw the dam not immediately after the Biyah? If the dam was discovered immediately after the bia, there Moidele, the Chachamim will agree. And since the Chachamim will agree, so therefore we have to have that consideration. And as the Rishonim explained the Gemara, There are three different times that we're speaking about in our shir. If they saw dam immediately after the bedika, after the bia, then everybody agrees they're both tamei vivadai. If they saw dam, not immediately, but very close, then everybody will agree that the tamei misafik, both the husband and the wife. If the bedika was took place at a later time, Rabbi Kiva is going to hold that only she's. Rabbi Kiva is going to hold that they're both tamei, but the Rabbanu will hold that only she's tamei. Amr Rabbi Zeira. So Rabbi Zeira said, because, as we learned in our Mishnah, we see that we separate the Kohen Gadol because we don't want him to become tamei. Spoil nida ena kenida. The halacha will be that we have to separate the Kohen Gadol for 7 days before Yom Kippur. We see from here that the person who has relations with a nida is not treated exactly like a nida, and therefore will tayva b'yoyim. Because what's the Gemara saying? If we separate the Kohen for 7 days before, so let's say Yom Kippur falls on Shabbos, and 7 days means we separate him from seven days before, but he had relations with his wife the last day before he separated. He won't be able to go to the mikveh until the night of Yom Kippur. The Amrit, it must be that such a person is not like a Nida. And even though the Nida, if she were to become Tamei, and she needs Zayin the Kiyim, can't go to the mikveh until Yom Kippur at night, parenthetically, of course, one may not go to the mikveh Yom Kippur at night, the Kohen, the man, can go to Yom Kippur and erev Yom Kippur and be able to do the Avodah that night. And that's what the Gemara is saying. Shabal nida ena kenida v'tayva b'yoyim. He could go to the mikvah already, erev Yom Kippur. Deim Amrit, if we're going to say the boil nida is kenida, emes tovel, when is the nida go to the mikvah? They would only be able to go to the mikvah b'layil, the night of Yom Kippur. If that would be the case, lamacher, the next day, if he only went to the mikvah that night, he will be a herv shemesh. He will still be a tful yoyim. And he can't do the avoda if he is a tovul yoyim. Hecha avar avoda v'boy herav shemesh elav shmamina. That even though the nida, if she would become tamei, she would have to wait till the night of Yom Kippur. The boil nida ain't a kenida, and he could go to mikvah already in erev Yom Kippur. Says the Gemara, Rasimim min ador ama, I feel tame boil nida kenida. We don't have to say that, and we can actually hold that a boil nida has the same status of a nida and can't go to the mikvah at night. But when it says in our Mishnah that we separate him, it means we don't start separating him then. We separate him already before. The Mefreshin and Sho'achas Samach L'Shkiach L'Chama, that we separate him an hour before the 7 days. So therefore, even if he'll become Tamei, he'll be able to go to the mikveh the night before Yom Kippur, and therefore when Yom Kippur comes, it will already be the 8th day, after he became Tomei, and if it will be the 8th day after he became Tomei, he will already be Harif Shemesh before Yom Kippur and be able to go to the mikveh and be able to do the Avodah, even though he's on to the mikveh strictly at night. And the reason, if that's the case, why didn't our Mishnah say that we separate him a day before? The answer is very simple, because since it's only an hour of that day, we don't treat it like a whole day. Meisvei asked the Gemara, it says, Kol chayvet tfiloson, everybody who's mechuyv to go to the mikvah, tfiloson b'yoyim. They could go to the mikvah on the day that they're supposed to go to the mikvah, they don't have to wait till the night, they could go to mikvah during the day. The exception is, nida v'yoledes, they only could go to the mikvah at night after their period of being tamei ends. What do we see from here? Asked the Gemara. The nida in that this is halacha stated strictly on to the nida. Boil nida loy. But you so ask the Gemara. How could you be suggesting that the boil nida also may only go to the mikveh at night? Answers the Gemara. What meant is to say nida the kol osam riboyu. Anybody that's connected to the nida, and this man who had relations with a nida, even though he obviously is not a nida himself, has the halacha of a boil nida, and therefore has the halacha of a nida, and just like a nida can't go to the mikvah until the night, he may not either. Meisvei, so the Gemara asks a different question. The Mishnah Masech Zavim, Perik Hei Mishnah Yud-Alef teaches us, Bel Keri, somebody who semen emanated from his body, has the halacha, he has the same halacha as somebody who touched the sheretz. The halacha of somebody who touched the sheretz is that he goes to the mikvah and he has hair of shemesh and he's good to go. Boil nida, somebody who has relations with a boil nida, says the Gemara, is treated like a tamimais. Ask the Gemara, my laf, what does that mean that he's treated like a tamimais? Lav la tefillah. That just like that, somebody who is a balkeri goes to the mikveh that day, the same thing will be that a tamei meis that could only have his tahara after 7 days, but on the seventh day he goes to the mikveh and he doesn't have to wait for the night. So how could you say, ask the Gemara to Rav Simi, that the boil nida has to wait to go to the mikveh until the night? Says the Gemara, loy. What the Mishnah is referring to is linyan tamosai. The Mishnah is trying to teach us that the Balkeri is only Tomei for 1 day, and the Balkeri is a Rishon L'Tuma, and therefore, since he's a Rishon L'Tuma, he's only Metama Oichlim Umashkin Midaraisa, not Odom V'Kelim, which is the halacha of a Tomei Sheretz as well. And a Boel Nida is an Ava Tuma that has the ability to transmit Tuma to Odom V'Kelim, just like a Tomei Meis. But that's what the Torah is comparing them to. But not that's what the Bryce is comparing them to. But it's not comparing them to the halachas that we're learning here, that just like a Tamei Meis could go to the mikveh during the day, so too may he go to the mikveh even during the day. Ask the Gemara, that's what that Mishnah is coming to teach us? Tumasim behedik sibu. The duration of the length of the Tumah, the Torah explicitly says, Hai Tumas shivik sibu. Regarding somebody who has relations with his wife who's a nida, the Torah says explicitly, "V'sini dasa olav v'tamei shivas yamim." So the Torah is very clear that he's tamei for 7 days. V'ay tamei shivak sibu. And regarding the tamei meis, the Torah says that he's tamei for 7 days. So that's, I don't need a mishnah to teach us that din. Elalav, we go back to what we said. Isn't the Torah coming to teach us regarding the tefilason? And the Torah and the mishnah is comparing a tamei meis to a boil nida to a tamei meis, and therefore the halacha will be that just like a tamei meis could go to the mikveh during the seventh day, the boil nida will be able to go to the mikveh during that seventh day. Not like Rav Simi is teaching us that he has to wait till the night. Says the Merloi, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is l'tamosam. The Mishnah is coming to teach us a halacha regarding their hilchus tuma. And what is the Mishnah coming to teach us? Sefer Istruchalei. The Mishnah is coming to teach us a different halacha. El Shechamim and a Boil Nida, that the Boil Nida has a chumrah over the Tamei Meis. Shetamei Mishkev Umayshev, the Boil Nida that sits on top of a mattress. And even if there are 10 mattresses, one on top of the other, and the Boil Nida sits on the top mattress, so those mattresses, since as we've learned, mattresses are something that were meant to sit on. They're all tamei, and all nitma tamekala. They all become a rishon l'tuma l'tama oichla mashkim. Now the halacha is that if the nida herself were to sit on a mashkev a moishev, all 10 mattresses would become an avatuma. And as we just said a moment ago, there's a very big difference between an avatoma and a rishon l'tuma. An avatoma has the ability to be metama odom v'kelim. A rishon l'tuma only has the ability to be metama oichlin amashkin. But it does have that, but the mishkev and moishev of a boil nida at least gets the status of a rishon l'tuma that's metama, that they are metama oichlin amashkin. A tuma meis is even less. And a tamei meis only is metama what it touches. And therefore, the mattress that the tamei meis sat on will be tamei. All the other mattresses will not be. And that's what the Torah is trying to teach us when it speaks about the tamei meis and the boil nida, but not regarding when they could go to the mikveh. Says the Gemara, Toshma, Tani Rav Chiya, Hazova Hazova, V'metzoy V'metzras, or boil nida with tamei meis, Tfilosim b'yom. Here the Brice is very explicit that the boil nida could go to the mikveh by day, a nida and a yoledes tfilosim b'layla. So the Brice here is extremely explicit that the boil nida can go to the mikveh by day and he need not wait for the night. Tiyufta, here we have a very clear explanation. So as we've been learning, that the reason we separate the Kohen Gadol from his wife is because of concern if they have relations, he may fall into the category of Boil Nida and he wouldn't be able to do the Avodah. Ask the Gemara, instead of separating him because we're worried that he may become Tomei with relations with his wife, Hefrisheyu, why should we not separate him Mitumas Meis? Maybe if we're going to let him stay at home, maybe somebody's going to enter his home, there'll be a Tomei Meis entering his home. Or maybe the person who enters his home or one of the people in his home will pass away, and now we have to be concerned that he will become a Tomei Meis. Answers the Gemara, Amar Tachflifa Avudar Afuna Mishmei Derava, Zois Ameris, Tumas Meis Hutra Betziba. The Gemara begins now a sugya, and that is, we know that when there's a carbon tzibur that has to be brought, there's a halacha of Tumma Hutra Betziba. Now that halacha of Tumma Hutra Betziba was only said by Tumas Meis, not by other Tumas. So Tumas Nida, that wouldn't be a heter. But by Tumas Meis, we have this concept. And our Gemara is teaching us now that not only if there's a Tumas Meis, when this carbon has to be brought, we could be lenient, but as we're about to begin the Suya, there's a question, do we say Tumma Hutra Betzibar or Tumma Dechuya Betzibar? Do we say that it's only Dechuya? If we say Dechuya means that it's something that we do reluctantly, or does it mean Hutra, that it's completely Mutter? And from here we see that Tumma Hutra Betzibar, and therefore, even if he will be exposed to Tumas Meis, we need not be concerned because he could still do the Avodah. Ravina Amar, Ravina says, Afil Tumas Meis, Dechuya Betzibar, even if we follow the opinion that Tumas Meis is only Dechuya, and we do it reluctantly, so if that's the case, now we could say that the reason we separate the Kohen from his house, because we're worried that somebody will die in his home and he'll become a Tomei Meis. And even though technically he could do the Avodah when he's a Tomei Meis, we don't want him to do the Avodah when he's a Tomei Meis because it's only Dechoya. Answers the Gemara, Tomei Meis Lashchicha, that somebody should be exposed to Tuma is unlikely, and therefore Tumas Meis L'Shchicha, and therefore we don't have to be concerned that would happen. Tumas Meis L'Shchicha, it is likely to happen, and therefore we are concerned when he has relations with his wife, because every woman who's still in the prime of her life that she's having a period is going to have dam, and therefore this was a real concern that every person, explained the Mefarshim, has a cheskes chai. And when we say a person has a cheskes chai, it means he has a chazaka that he's alive and will remain alive, and we don't need to be concerned that maybe the person, that the kohen will be exposed to tumas mes. Here we see a machloikas, so we say tumah dechuya betzibah, tumah hutra betzibah. And we just said the first explanation that we offered in the Gemara is that Tumah Hutra B'tzibah. If we say Tumah Hutra B'tzibah, means that when there's Tumah that affects the Tzibah, it's completely Mutter. So sort of Mefarshim asked, the big nace of Chanukah was that they only found that one pitcher of oil that was Tahar, and it wasn't enough to last for 8 days, and therefore, until they could get new Tahar oil, and the nace was that oil was enough to light all 8 days. So the Mefarshim ask, if we say Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, so why does it make a difference if it was Tameh? Even if it was Tameh, it should not be of concern to us, because Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, we could use Tumah to go oil. So Mefarshim explain, when it comes to Chanukah, when it comes to doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, when it comes to inaugurating the Avodah, of doing the Avodah on the Menorah again in the Beis HaMikdash, we don't want shortcuts. And even the man, the Amid, that holds Tumah Hutra B'tzibur, agrees that there's certainly an advantage where something is done beheter when versus being done beisser, being done betumah. And therefore here, where it could be done, beheter, where we want the Beis HaMikdash to be brought betahara, we don't want to look for any shortcuts. And therefore, in this case, in the case of Chanukah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a nace that it should be done with pure tahara, without any tumah at all.